spoken word. And the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about our speech, and not only our speech, but the speech that we allow, the words that we allow to define and refine our own life. In fact, if you read the book of Proverbs, you'll see that it'll use words like mouth and lips and speech and tongue. And just basically, one out of every seven verses in the book of Proverbs deals with some form of speech or what comes out of our mouths. In Proverbs 18:21, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I want you to know that, you know, as you know, the book of James tells us that anyone that can watch over their tongue and can get control of it is a mature person. And we need help in the area of the words that we say, not only the ones that we verbalize, but what we think, because Scripture tells us what's in our heart comes out in our mouths. And there are a lot of things that Proverbs has to say about words. God is very concerned about the issue of our words. The word is central to God's own person and his being. And we already talked about creation, that God created this world and everything that we see by his word. He revealed himself to us through his written word. And that word, we are told, is living and active, and is power able to come in to judge even the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, came to earth, and he is recorded and revealed to us as the living word. And that living word was full of grace and full of truth. Our own relationship with each other is defined, and they grow or are destroyed by the words that we use with one another. Words are important to God, specific purpose and intent. So we need to talk about them and our use of them. Just yesterday, as I continue to read a chapter in Proverbs a day this year, just Proverbs 10 yesterday on the 10th day of March, it says, "A wise heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be thrown down. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." This one here is the only place in my Bible that I've written out on the side with two exclamation points and put "ouch" beside it. Proverbs 10:19, "Where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise." The Scriptures continually remind us that wise people watch their words. They pay attention to what words they grab hold of. In fact, as Jesus sat down on a mountainside and spoke grace and truth to the people in his day, he closed those words out by saying this: "You're going to leave this message, and you're either going to walk the path of wisdom or you're going to walk the path of foolishness." And the difference isn't not what words you heard, but what words you apply into your life, because a wise person is someone who hears these words of mine and does something about them. They put them into practice. And the foolish person is the one who hears these words and maybe can even quote them or tell others what I have said, and he doesn't put them into practice. And I tell you, life's going to hit and push against both of those individuals, but the outcomes of their life will be determined by what they do with the words that they have acted upon. Proverbs, again, says numerous things about words, and I've just pulled a few of them out here for us to look at. The first one is, "Fool's words get them into constant quarrels. They are asking for a beating. The mouth of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. Rumors are dainty morsels." And I want you to underline this, and this is why I put this one, "that sink deep into one's heart." That's the power of words. They can go down deep into our heart. And words that are spoken to us as children have incredible power to help shape our whole view of ourselves and our view of God and our view of others. And there are no doubt in our congregation, there's no doubt in everyone's life here, words that you wish they didn't have so much power over your life because you've recognized them at one time or another, that I hear that this is contrary to what God says about me, but somehow they're deep within me. It's like they were spoken to me and now I own them. They sink deep into the heart. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but an encouraging word makes it glad. As you've gone through a tough time, as you've gone through a difficulty in life, you can probably recall some things that were said that were a little bit out of line, or maybe, I mean, Job certainly felt that with some of his friends coming along and giving him words, and even words that were meant as encouragement to him or of rebuke, that really kind of weighed him down a little bit more. But aren't you thankful when you read the Bible that there's a word that you can say, all of a sudden it seems like this passage of Scripture was written for me at this time, at this place. Or you've had a friend that has come in, a brother or sister in the Lord, and when you didn't think that you could handle it anymore, maybe they just said these words, yes, you can. Or I believe in you. And somehow that gives us the power to go on. Again, the Scriptures here, the wise are known for their understanding, and the pleasant words are persuasive. Discretion is a life-giving fountain to those who possess it, but discipline is wasted on fools. From a wise mind comes wise speech. Where do you think foolish speech comes from? From a foolish mind. And the words of the wise are persuasive. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. And certainly don't we see this played out in our world and unfortunately sometimes in our lives. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is for a moment. Proverbs 12:14, wise words brings many benefits, and hard work brings rewards. If you've seen the value in your life of working hard, if you've seen the accomplishment of giving your best at something, and you can sit back and look at it and say, wow, isn't that good? The proverb writers say, let's reflect on our words, and let's look what wise words over time bring into our life. And reflect and say, just like it takes effort, just like it takes control, it takes self-discipline, it takes a spirit-led life, and it's hard. Be the kind of person that works hard to use the right words in your life. I like Proverbs 25:11-12. Like apples and gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in the right circumstance. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to the listening ear. And then not all words on their surface seem to be encouraging, but when it's done with the right attitude, it can really give you increased strength in your life. Because that wisdom also tells us, better an open rebuke than love that is concealed. We don't need flattery when we're wrong. We need someone that cares enough to tell us the truth. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. So let's reflect on the power of words. And the first thing, really we're going to go over two things today, and you probably already knew them when you came in here, but let's take them and apply the strength of God's word and take it into our life. Because really what we need is the practice of truth. Not just knowing the truth, but we need to practice the truth. And the first thing I want us to see is that words have destructive power to hurt. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. That word rashly means to speak thoughtlessly, one that babbles unadvisedly. The New International Version says there is one who speaks recklessly. The New Living Translation says that uses careless words, that basically just throws words around for whatever emotional, for lack of a better word, vomit they want to put into a person's life. They are foolish. I want you to notice, especially in the New American Standard Version, how this is not just an observation. This is something specific. The proverb writer makes it personal. There is one. Let me ask you this. Can you think of someone who has spoken recklessly into your life? And you know that those words, even though you would like to deny it and say it doesn't matter and it doesn't hurt me and I'm bigger than this and I've dealt with it and I've taken it to the altar and I've as far as I know, I've given him forgiveness. But would you, just with God, as you ask him to search your heart, is there a person or a people in mind that has spoken reckless or careless words into your life? And you realize that just as God wants to work in the, and does work in the element of our words, we have an adversary that also uses words to injure and to hurt. Here's what I'm saying. Words have spiritual power. And sometimes the enemy gets in ways that we don't expect it. People that should have known better. They speak rashly like the thrust of a sword. I think it's no coincidence that this is plural. It's not just one jab will get you. Here's the power of a word. A word that is spoken carelessly in our life can thrust in over and over and over again in life. You don't need a whole lecture of negative words. I've seen this happen in relationships. They seem to be going along well. They seem to be bringing healing into their life. And one or two words sabotages all growth in that relationship. Some words have more power than others. Some people's words have more power in our life than others. Whether reckless or intentional, they injure and they cut deeply. And the truth of this is that some today still feel the pain of those words years later. Rash words come from people. Rash words do not simply have a connotation of coming quickly. It comes off the tongue. It has a dimension of foolishness. They're hasty. They're unwise speech that is destructive to others. They're like sword thrust. Not just like a slap in the face that stings a bit, but a sword piercing the flesh that hit at our very core. Now, there are some words that are like a surgeon's scalpel, and they're injury, as it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, is to bring about healing in our life. But it's not talking about these kind of words. These words are random and reckless in our life. And they're chosen to be biting and painful so that they can wield control over our life or maximize pain or be the one with the upper hand. Solomon uses this metaphor to reveal the extreme destructive power that our words can have. A sword through your side is extremely painful and may cause paralysis or even loss of life. And the clear implication is that rash words are no small thing. Now, I asked you just a moment ago to think about reckless or rash words that have been spoken into your life. Would we have the integrity and the honesty and the courage enough to also say, God, reveal to me any careless words that I have spoken into others' lives? God, forgive me for when I have been foolish, when I have tried to gain the upper hand, or hurt, or have hurt, whether I intended to or not. Look what the scripture says in Romans 15, 1-4. A gentle answer deflects anger. Underline this. But harsh words make tempers flare. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing. Underline this.
but the mouth of the fool belches out foolishness. One of the versions says, it gushes out foolishness. And this is one of the things that you see repeated in Scripture, is that our words are like a fountain. And they either flow life or they flow death. And like all fountains, they have a source. And the Scriptures teaches that source is our heart. We say things like, I didn't mean it. We also then need to evaluate, then why did I say it? Is there something that I am unaware of in my heart that causes me to talk in the tone or the manner or using the words that I have? Scripture says there is something in your heart that causes that to happen. It's not just how you were raised. It maybe were strongholds that came into your life that God wants to destroy, that the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ wants to demolish in our life. And so we have to have the spiritual integrity to say, God, if I didn't mean it, why do I say it? The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. Gentle words are a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking, but underline this, the mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. Now we love Jesus. We're saved, we're forgiven, we have the hope of eternal life, and we think, certainly, I don't have any evil words. Wisdom says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And from the source of the fountain, your words spoken, your words thought, reveal themselves. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Proverbs 16, a worthless man digs up evil. Notice this, James picks up on this in James 3, while his words are like a scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife. A slander separates intimate friends. One of the things I did years ago is I was just talking about the power of my own words and power in our family life. And I don't have that in here for some reason, okay? Let me go ahead and give this to you, okay? Write the word tact, T-A-C-T, down on your page. What is tact? Tact is knowing what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. It's pretty easy, okay? Knowing what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. So the T I put for tact was your tone of voice. Sometimes it's not what you say, but it's how you say it that matters. This happened the other day when I picked the kids up from school. And as I picked them up for school, something happened to one of the boys. And Diego said to one of his brothers, thank you very much. And the other one said, well, you're welcome. And he goes, I didn't mean that kind of thank you. You know, your tone, your attitude behind it, the sarcasm that comes out. You need to pay attention to that. Sometimes we can say the right thing in the wrong way and be a fool. We need wisdom in knowing what to say, when to say it, and how to say it, which takes me to the A, which is your attitude. Your attitude matters in life. So the A in intact would be your attitude. Watch over your heart's attitude as you say it. C is your cooperation. Am I really joining a person in cooperating with them, or am I trying to gain control? And T is trust. You know, some words are more important because of the person that they come from and the trust that we have. The other thing, and I've shared this with you, I've had it in my life for about 20 years now, is the word think, and it's another acrostic. Let me quickly give that to you. Think before you talk. Think before you post on Facebook. Think before you give a Twitter feed. Think before you speak rashly. Is it true? If you can't validate that it's true, don't say it. Is it helpful? Some things can be true, but they're not helpful. And so you need wisdom to know whether what I convey to other people is helpful. Is it inspirational? What is my motive for doing it? Am I inspiring people? So the I am think would be, is it inspirational? N, is it necessary? Do you really have a need to say this in your life? It may be true, it may be helpful, it may be inspirational, but you may not be the right person to say it. So you need to ask yourself, you need to ask God, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? Just little things that I've taken around in my life to try to say, David, think. David, use tact in your speech. Because Proverbs 18:21, and we'll get to life in a minute, but death is in the power of the tongue. You have the ability to create in other people's lives and in your own life. Death. Separation. Pay attention to what you say. And tragically, our reckless words are too often saved for those that we say we care the most about. And because we love them, they carry even more pain. The sword goes a little deeper, and it twists a little bit more our life. Ephesians 4 tells us to let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up to others, according to their needs, not your needs. When you find yourself saying something like this, I just have to tell you. Just ask yourself, maybe you do. But why do you have to tell it? Is this so that you can feel better? Or is it to build them up? Is it have a kingdom purpose? Does it have to add worth and value and let another person see how God sees them? And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? With our words. We grieve the Holy Spirit with our words, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Now, this proverb is descriptive. Death and life are in the power of the tongues. You know, harsh words or rash words thrust like a sword into a person. It's descriptive, but it's not prescriptive. We can see the damage that's been done to our life, other people's lives. We can see the injury that we've caused other people, but it doesn't tell us what to do about it. Hang on, we're going to get there. But if we identify that God is speaking to us about our words, then we need to search our own heart, see what's going on in our heart that precedes these words. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What evil desires may be present within you? When we see our sin, the cross becomes more dear to us, and we find ourselves to be a great sinner because we have a great Savior. Romans 5:20 says, where sin increases, grace abounds all the more. Go to the cross. At the end of the service, we're going to share communion together. And it's a reminder to us that where sin has increased, the sin of others in our life, of words they've used and the enemy now has grabbed hold of and used to keep us paralyzed or broken down or not in the, don't see us in the image of God that He has created us to be, we run to the cross where the living Word laid down His life for us. Let's go on. Not only do words have the destructive power to hurt, but also words have constructive power to help and to heal. There is one, yes, we recognize it, we've seen it, we've experienced it, we've been part of it, who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but underline this, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. God, when I begin to fear you, which is the beginning of wisdom, and I begin to purposely take in my life the life of wisdom and direct my heart and watch over it with all diligence, then there is a change in the way that I talk. There was a change in the attitude behind my words and how I say things in life. And I began to speak words of grace to people. That's why people looked at Jesus when he came and he spoke some very hard things, but he said it with grace. And they were amazed and they were in wonder. And when people went to arrest Jesus and they came back to the Pharisees, they said, "We've not heard anyone talk like this man talks." There was increased power in his words. So much power that one time when he said, "Here am I in the garden," and you have the whole Roman guards there to arrest him, they fell backwards. It was through a spoken word. Think about a time when you heard a word from a friend, a coach, a pastor, a teacher, or maybe God himself that brought healing in a situation. Wise words bring about good things, words that you need to hear. Notice what it says about the power of constructive power to heal and to help in our words. Proverbs 10:21, the words of the godly, underline this, encourage many. Let's break down that word encourage. It means to put courage into. Insert courage. And godly people, people that fear God, look for ways to put courage in others. The truth is, we all have fears. We all have things that we wonder whether we can do or whether God can do. The scripture talks about each one building up each other's faith. That's putting courage in you. And about the word of God itself, it tells us in the book of Acts, Paul said, "I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." So many, you know, we have these words that, some words feed our fears. We need godly people in our life that feed our faith, that put courage into. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be silenced. Proverbs 10:11, the words of the godly, again, underline this, are a life-giving fountain. As opposed to the one who belches out or gushes out foolishness, the words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. Write down, well, I guess it's in your notes, James chapter 3. And it talks about the power of the tongue and how the whole course of one's life comes down to what we say and to our words and directs it. And James also begins to talk about how it is from our heart that we speak. And from a spring doesn't give both good water and a fresh water and stale, dirty, contaminated water. You can't say, "Well, I can say the right thing now, but it's okay, you know, because my good words outweigh my bad words." That's not how it works. Because you have a contaminated fountain. Everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It's a wonderful thing to say the right thing at the right time. Proverbs 15:23. I like this one, Proverbs 16:23. The mind of the wise instructs his mouth and adds learning and persuasiveness to his lips. You know, it's a great thing to have friends that care enough to tell you to watch your mouth. It's a great thing when the Holy Spirit comes into your life and says, "You know, that came across as you being a little proud or arrogant or a little uncaring. You need to go back and make that right." But when you begin to walk the path of wisdom, it's even a better thing when the Holy Spirit speaks to you before you verbalize. And your mind that is set on the things of God instructs how you say things, when you say things in your life. Proverbs 25:15. By long forbearance and calmness of spirit. How do we get that? Long forbearance and calmness of spirit. Could I set before you that is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. A judge or a ruler is persuaded
And soft speech breaks down the most bone-like resistance. What if raising our wisdom was more powerful than raising our voice? And our desire to be heard, what if instead we speak softly the words of God? Proverbs 25:25 says, like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. Why? Because life is in the power of the tongue. Life is in the power of your tongue. And today, from your thoughts to the words that you verbalize, you are either putting forth life or death by what you say to yourself, by words you receive from others, and words you say yourself. Now, sometimes I feel like praying the prayer that I heard several years ago that would go something like this: Dear God, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy or grumpy, nasty, or self-centered. And I'm really happy about that, God. But in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed, and then I'm going to need a lot of your help. Thank you, God. You know, careless words, reckless words, nonsense words, they're so easy. It's so easy to get caught up into it. James ends his thing by saying this in James 3. The wisdom from God is first of all pure. It's peace and loving and gentle at all times. And it's willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. My words are a matter of the heart. And if I'm going to change my words, I'm going to have to change my heart. I'm going to have to let God change my heart. You see, you knew all this before you came in. But if we're honest with us, knowledge doesn't change your vocabulary. Knowledge doesn't change the course of your life. We need more than information. We need transformation. It is the truth that will set you free. The application of that truth. It's putting into practice the things. It's being honest with ourselves and saying, I need help in this area. And humble ourselves and not only bring ourselves to God and ask for forgiveness, but also bring ourselves into an accountability and says, I need help. I love this verse. The heart of the godly thinks before speaking, and the mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. God, I want to be a godly person. Help me as I watch over my heart with all diligence to watch over and not minimize the power of my words. And again, I want to say not only our words to others, but our words to ourselves. In the take-home section of your sermon notes, there's some things in which that I ask you to do this week, to really listen to your self-talk and things that you don't verbalize, but you tell yourself and see how that can do. And just, there's some scriptures there to kind of help you guide through that as well. If we were wise, we will guard our tongue. And the truth is, Jesus said, the one who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. And the one who hears these words and does not put them into practice is a foolish man. This is for somebody here today. Some people have built their life upon the rubble of destructive words of the past. And you've tried to put the words of Christ on the foundation of words that were given for injury and for pain. And God says, let's go and let my words be the foundation. In life, as Jesus did, had some very horrific things said about him. From birth, from his ministry, he was criticized as being illegitimate, as being a false prophet, all those things. And even while he's on the cross, people began to put back his words to him. He saved others. He can't save himself. Prophesy, prophesy, O prophet.
People walked back and they had insults at him and hurling insults. And it says, while being reviled, he did not revile in return, but he kept entrusting himself to his faithful Creator. Do you know right before those words what it tells us to do? Just as Jesus walked, we are to walk in his steps. And maybe the spiritual truth that comes out of this message is an understanding and a confession to God. God, I have trying to build my faith in you based upon the destructive rubble of what other people put in my life. And today, I thought I'd gone deep with you, but I'm going to go and put your words as the foundation of my life. Listen to the healing and the helpful words of Jesus. To the paralytic, he says, take heart, my son. Notice the words, son, he says to him. Your sins are forgiven. Pick up your bed and go home. To the woman caught in adultery, he wrote some words in the ground, and it began to cause the oldest and the youngest to leave and depart. We don't know what he wrote there, but he wrote words. And then he looked at the woman. He says, where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. My word did not come to condemn you. My word came to set you free. So go and sin no more. You have permission and the freedom and the forgiveness to leave your life of sin. Now go and act upon my word. To the woman who had the hemorrhage for 12 years, take heart, daughter. Again, listen to how Jesus talked. Daughter, your faith has made you well. For the woman who was criticized for washing his feet, why do you trouble this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. What she has done will be remembered forever. To those who crucified him, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. To the criminal who was next to him, who had no power to get down and to change his life and to do anything good, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. Listen to that word, today. Today marked the day of his death. Today is when the world was giving him everything he deserved for his crimes against Rome and against people. But Jesus said, today. You don't go through purgatory. You don't have to earn your way. Today you will be with me in paradise. To Thomas, who doubted that he was raised from the dead, his first words to him was, peace be with you. Then he says, come here. See my hands. Put your fingers in my side. Don't go around in unbelief, but believe. And like those individuals that I just walked us through scripturally through Jesus' words, whether you have been paralyzed by the words spoken to you when you were young, the living word says to you, get up and walk today. Whether you have had the sin of unfaithfulness in your life and have lived in condemnation, kind of as a second-class believer, Jesus would say to you, I don't condemn you, go and sin no more. Maybe you're hemorrhaging from an old wound, like the wound from the lady that had things in her past. And he says today, your faith has made you well. Maybe you suffer criticism from an act of love, like the woman who washed Jesus' feet. Jesus accepts you. Jesus defends you. And he says, you are worshiping me in spirit and truth. And don't worry about what others say. Live for the pleasure of God. Or the criminal, and you say, there's no way I can go back and change what I have done in the past today. Or maybe you have doubted God. Jesus would say, don't stay in unbelief. See, where all humanity has failed, rebelled, and sinned and fallen short, Christ enters the scene and speaks healing, words that bring life, words of forgiveness, of eternal life. The living word speaks lives of hope, words of life, and healing and hope. So what do we do? How do we move from conviction of our sin to the amazement of God's mercy and change the way we talk? Let me give you four things real quickly. Identify the sin that precedes my harmful words. My best understanding of Scripture, if you have harmful words coming into your life, there is a sinful attitude behind it.
Don't justify it. Don't excuse it. Don't say it's your race and I'm Irish and so I have a bad temper. Don't blame your home life. Don't blame others. Don't blame the church. Don't blame anybody else except the sin. Whether you have a critical spirit or whether just a spirit of negativity in your life or rejection or pain or bitterness, just come to the cross and accept where sin increases, grace abounds all the more. Listen, if we deny our sin, if we excuse it, God can't help us. Identify the sin to the best of your ability. Maybe you need to have other people come into your life and say, what do you think it is? Do I have pride? Do I have anger? Do I have bitterness in my life? What do you think? Ask those that know you best. Humbly receive God's grace. Throw yourself at the mercy seat of God. And to say, God, I've tried. I've tried to get this out of my mind. I've tried to be, I can't help myself, and I'm throwing myself at your grace. Don't deny it, defend it, demand it, or detract from it. Own my sin and then allow the cross to make the payment for it. See, all true change is motivated through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Seek forgiveness from those I may have hurt. It doesn't matter whether you think that they are hurt or not, but if you may have hurt them, go back and ask for forgiveness. Some people, as a result of this message, are going to sit with God and write a letter to someone that they've hurt. Not expecting any result other than today, I need to provide grace to that person and own my wrong. And then walk by the Spirit. Listen, don't do this without your Spirit. Don't with the Spirit of God. The Spirit is given that we may know Christ and we might obey Him. And Christ's saving power is powerful enough to make a rash person wise. Christ has conquered Satan, the cross, and the grave, and He's able to conquer the destructive words in our life and the words that we say and the ones that have been spoken to us and transform us into a person who speaks with power and truth and encouragement, words of healing and grace. Maybe you want to make this the prayer of your heart. Lord, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Or maybe you want to write this one down, Psalm 39:1, where David said, I will guard my ways that I might not sin with my tongue. Notice this. I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle. I'm taking this seriously, and if it requires me putting a muzzle on my mouth, I will do it. And then I have some things for us to take through, to take home, and to kind of do this, because our words matter. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when we see the weight of our words and the power that it has, God, through His grace, wants to transform us. We were made in the image of God. And God, who said, let there be light, and there was light, is the same God that says, let there be forgiveness, and there's forgiveness in our life. Let there be grace evident in your life. This fruit of the Spirit that comes from love and joy and peace. And all the things that we have, all the hope that we have, comes to the cross. And so how appropriate today that we, in our celebration of our faith in Christ, would come to the living Word who took our sin in His body on the cross. Let's pray. Father, Your word tells us to examine our hearts. Not because you want to condemn us, not because you want to exert control of our life, but because you love us and you created words to be powerful and effectual in our life. In fact, your word says that you watch over your word to perform it in our life. Lord, where there is need for forgiveness, we would humbly bow our hearts before you and say, God, please forgive me. And I thank you, I confess, and help us to name the sin. Name it in our life. When words have come to control us that have taken us
away from being fully devoted to you. God, you know our struggle. You know our pain. And today that we would ask that your word would be the word that we build our life upon. And Lord, as we receive these elements today, we receive your grace that is to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If those that will be